WPHN. And now, more Paul Miller on Information 1380 WPHN.
My dad was a whistler. You know those guys? Now whistling songs at you. Yeah. Just very irritated all the time. Jesus, come on, let's go. Come on. The language he spoke, we called it whistlish. It was this hybrid of whistling and English. That's how he addressed you all the time. Come here, listen. It's a pile of wood up on the hill. I want you to grab the wheelbarrow.
David Dyer from his comedy album, Uncooked, which comes out on Friday. He will be celebrating that event in Lexington at the Lexington Village Theater. He's online with us right now. Dave, good morning.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. My dad was a whistler of music. Your dad was a whistler of instructions.
Right. Yeah. My dad was, there were four boys. I was the youngest of four boys. So he basically kind of had herd us, similar to, you know, like I make a reference to, we were like border collies, the way we moved around. He just had to keep us in line. So, you know, it was four boys who were rambunctious. We were athletic. We were beating up on each other all the time. So he just, he couldn't do the sweet vibrato whistle, you know, and whistle songs. It was a very direct order. Here, I want you over here. You got to do this. Let's take care of this. So,
now, was your
dad
a funny?
That's how he moved us.
Was he a funny guy? Did you get your sense of humor from him, or where did it come from?
My dad was my single biggest comedic influence. You know, everybody asks, "Oh, who are your favorite comics? Who influenced you?" And I honestly have to say, my dad. And the reason being is my dad was incredibly funny, very very funny guy, very smart, very sharp wit. But more than that, he was kind of the conduit or the portal to all the other stuff we listened to. You know, my other friends were watching different kinds of shows. We were watching Monty Python. Yeah. We were listening to Bob Newhart. We were listening to all different kinds of stuff. And it was because of him and the stuff that he loved. And that was really my, you know, education in comedy. You know, I can remember the first time listening to some of these albums, listening, excuse me, to Jonathan Winters growing up, and thinking, I can't believe somebody can do this for a living, you know? So he was a humongous influence on me.
So when was the first time that you stepped up on stage and said, I can do this?
Well, you know what? I actually studied theater in college. I did a lot of plays and I was in a band. So I was very comfortable being on stage, but I never had done stand-up until about 2 years after college. And it's completely different. You know, I had confidence of being on stage, but in stand-up, you're on stage with your own thoughts. There's nobody else to back you up. I mean, it is a very... It's a very vulnerable, scary situation. So I was about 23, 24 years old, and I went to an open mic in Lansing, and you had to do 5 minutes, and I did really well. I worked very hard on my 5 minutes. In fact, the guy who was headlining, a friend of mine, a guy named Mike Toomey, came up to me, and he said, you've never done this before? And I said, no. And he said, boy, that was great. Well, the problem was that was the worst thing that could have happened, because I walked off stage thinking, this is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
And I went back the next week with little to no preparation, and I can only describe it as a lake on a cool autumn morning. It was completely silent.
Ouch.
There were no waves, nothing. So that was the best thing that could have happened, because I walked off stage going, all right, we got to put some effort into this. We really got to work at this.
But when you watch a good comedian, it looks effortless. I mean, like with anything, when you watch it, when you listen to it, you say, oh, that's easy. Anybody can do that. But in fact, it takes a tremendous amount of preparation, doesn't it?
It takes a long time, and it takes a lot of confidence, and it takes a lot of bombing. I mean, you get up in front of you will bomb more often than you'll do well when you're starting out. And it's just those little glimpses of when you do well. It's those little pieces, those little sparkles where you're like, all right, this is fantastic. This motivates me to keep going. And, you know, there's no substitution for getting on stage as much as you can. And there's no substitution, like you said, for confidence and experience over time, to where the same joke delivered by someone who's nervous and the same joke who's delivered by somebody who's confident and knows how to deliver it, as you know, it's a completely different joke. So
I wanted to learn a little bit more about David Dyer. So I went to the website and clicked on your bio. And I love your bio because it has really very little to do about you. It's not where you grew up and where you've played. It's basically your manifesto on why you're not going to tell everybody about all the places that you've played, because really it doesn't matter whether it's a crowd of, 40 people or 4,000 people. You just love getting up there on stage and telling jokes.
Exactly. You know, I could tell you the people I've opened for. You know, I've opened for Lewis Black. I've opened for a bunch of people, you know, great people I've worked for and stuff I've done for TV. And that's great. And, you know, people go, oh, but, you know, the bottom line is that buys you about 2 to 3 minutes on stage. And
right
after that, you have to deliver. You know, I love There's a great documentary that was put out years ago by Jerry Seinfeld after the series was done, and he kind of went back to doing stand-up. And he and Colin Quinn are in a booth in New York City, and they're talking about after they've done sets, and it is perfect because it's exactly what it is. You know, Seinfeld basically says, all those years of the sitcom buy me 5 minutes on stage. Yeah. And then after that, if I can't do it, people will let you know you're not doing it. So you really got to bring it every single night. Yeah.
I sense that Seinfeld is at least a little bit of an influence because you have a series on your website called Sidecar yeah. Sessions, which I find utterly fascinating. Tell me about Sidecar Sessions.
Well, the first one is not out yet. The first one is going to be out the first week of July, and it is something I'm very excited about. I'm a motorcyclist, and I bought last year, much to my wife's chagrin, it's a Russian company called Ural. It's a sidecar motorcycle. It basically looks like an old World War II bike, but it's actually new. It's all new electronics and everything. But I thought, I love driving this thing around. When I bring people in it, everybody has such a good time riding in the sidecar. And I thought, and I love to interview people. There's a station in Grand Rapids here I fill in on sometimes. And I thought, I want to have a show on this sidecar. I will be driving the sidecar. I'm going to be driving the bike. My guest will be in the sidecar. And we are just going to ride around. We're going to talk about all manner of things. And the first one, like I said, it's coming out in the beginning of July. And it's with a friend of mine named Adam Deggie, another comedian. And we basically taped for about an hour and 5 minutes. And I pared it down to about 17 minutes. Just to trimmed out all the fat and just got the really good parts so that people aren't sitting there, you know, waiting for things to develop. And I've got another one taped, and I'm taping another one Wednesday, and then another one the second week of July. And I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
There's that, and then there's Pillars, which is your web series that you have on your website as well, which is basically a show about nothing, right?
Yeah, very similar. That's a good friend of mine, a gentleman named Kevin Yan, is the other actor who's in it. And people may recognize Kevin's voice. For years, he was the voice of Chrysler, the big famous Super Bowl commercial with Eminem, the big two-minute commercial. That's him. That's his voice on that commercial. And he's done a bunch of stuff for a bunch of big companies. But he's a great actor. And he and I just have a great friendship. And we started writing these little sketches. And a lot of those come out of the just little conversations we have. There's one that we just put out. It's called Step Two. And it's basically my character has, doing fertilizing his lawn with one of those four-step programs, but I forgot to buy step two and I can't find it anywhere. And I was having an actual kind of situation like this where I'm like, my lawn looks horrible and I can't find the fertilizer I'm supposed to use. And right. Kevin said, you know, this is one we've got to write something about.
Right,
so, so just little topics like that, they're just kind of a glimpse into our life. And so they're a ton of fun to do.
Congratulations again on Uncooked, your new comedy album, which comes out on Friday. That's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm thrilled. I recorded it. Actually, the club here in Grand Rapids, where I live, records your shows when you're there. And I'm there every Thanksgiving weekend. It's just a nice weekend for me to be home, and a lot of family and friends can go to the show. Well, they tape your shows. And one of the shows was really nice, a great, great crowd reaction and everything. And a friend of mine kind of split it up into tracks. And I presented it to a couple record companies, and one of them responded right away and said, we love this. It's a company called Comedy Dynamics. They did Jim Gaffigan's latest album. They've done a bunch of big albums. And they said, we love this. And we put together an agreement, and June 30th it comes out.
That's awesome. June 30th, also the day that you're going to be at the Lexington Village Theater. Have you been up to Lexington before?
I have not been there. And you know what? I'm very excited. I got a hold of Becky because I've seen a bunch of friends of mine who have been there in the past, Norm Stultz, Dave Landau, a bunch of different people. And they all said, oh, you'll love it. You got to get in there, get a hold of Becky. And I got a hold of her finally. And we set this up, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's a cool place. And you're here in the best time of year, too, in summertime. So we're glad that you're coming.
Thank you very much. And my friend, a good friend of mine, Jimmy Roberson from Indianapolis, is going to be opening up for me, and he is fantastic. Very funny guy.
Friday night, the place to be, Lexington Village Theater for Dave Dyer. Dave, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.